This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
You're almost like a Swiss Army knife. So
yeah.
I definitely want people to be able to learn from how you've been able to develop so many different skills and become proficient at them.
Okay.
And also just your overall just creative process, you know. How do you develop different skills?
Just do shit, bro. I tell people all the time, just if there's something that you like to do, just do it. Even if you don't know if you can do it, just start. You know, because once you start the process of something, your brain starts to thinking about it and you start to break down. OK, well, how can I do this different? How can I make this work? And once you start that pattern, once you start on a journey, you learn new things about something that you've never done before.
Hot breath. Hot breathivers, welcome back. I'm sorry. I've never opened this with singing before, I don't think. But welcome aboard, Hot Brethren and Sistren. This is Hot Breathisode number 162. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers. And you know what time it is. Hot Breath. Yes, indeedy. We are back. Hot Breath, your weekly guide to comedy mastery. We have a very special episode today. So everyone tuning in, this is your first time. You're hopping on board because of today's guest. Stay a while. You are just on time because last week was our most listened to week yet. We've been churning out about three episodes a week now for a couple weeks now. And last week tops our highest weekly listen total. So thank you so much to all of you who have been listening and sharing and reaching out to me and my guests saying how much you've enjoyed these episodes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So on with this episode. Last week's was a masterclass with Alton Walker all about business and getting booked beyond just the comedy clubs, but actually creating your own success. This week's episode right here, all about skill set building and creating your own success. My guest not only runs his own comedy club, he also knows so many different skill sets from stand-up, from video editing to Photoshop. So many different skill sets this gentleman has learned. And I gotta say, out of all of the over 160 interviews I've done, a common theme has been just doing stand-up is not enough. Diversify yourself. Make yourself indispensable. That opens yourself up to multiple revenue streams. Hey, you do stand-up? Hey, can you do photographs? Hey, maybe you'll get hired to photograph headshots or a comedy show. Like, there's so many different ways that you can find income. And diversifying your skill sets is a very powerful way to do that. So this episode really goes headfirst into you and creating your own success, which is what 2019 is all about. That's why I'm making this the second interview I post on Hot Breath this year of 2019, because all of your feedback has been, this is the year, I'm going to da-da-da. So I'm trying to roll out interviews that are going to help you get to that da-da-da faster, whatever your da-da-da is. And if you haven't found your da-da-da yet, this would be a good week to do that. You know you want to in the back of your brain. Go ahead. Take a couple minutes. Make some da-da-das for this year. You won't regret it. So thank you for all your valuable time. I have some special, exciting news in the outro I'd love for you to hang out with, but I will not take up any more time in this intro, but just enjoy, all right? Take notes, share this with other people you think would find value in it, beyond even just stand-up. I know that's our core, but creative people in general, I really think can learn from these interviews, especially this one. So I crossed paths with my guest. I was actually at the comedy club, gonna interview Finesse Mitchell, ended up connecting with this guy, boom, like 2 days later, we're in the lab doing this interview, and it worked out perfecto. So, I said all that to say, there is only one thing left to do, and that is inhale a hot breath with legendary Bruce.
This is it.
Leroy. Let's get it.
You're in the hot breath verse now, man.
All right. My breath is not hot enough to melt this metal, so that's a good thing.
Nah, you good.
Actually, I don't think my breath is hot because I'm from Minnesota. It's more of a breezy room temperature.
You know, cold blood.
Yeah, I'm definitely like a fish out here. I'm definitely like a fish.
Here in Hotlanta.
In the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Ah, like Prince. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was
who
my
was
favorite
from?
Skit from that show.
Uh-huh.
I am purified, sir. Oh, no. Multiple times.
Yeah. Can
you
take some dope pics?
Yeah. Woo! Dope pics.
Dope-ery. Specific. I wore my Vikings hat, so y'all know. So yeah, I know y'all stole our design for our stadium. I seen y'all stadium. I was like, oh, y'all some biters, bro.
Oh, is that what it's from?
Y'all stole our whole stadium.
Is yours like 1.6 billion? $1 billion?
They just built ours 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
It's US Bank Stadium.
Oh.
It looked just like y'all. I was like, y'all just, okay, you know.
It has the roof though?
Yeah.
The spinning roof?
Yeah, it has the thing that opens up like.
Right. Wow.
I was like, they actually. So what happened is, they had to get what is it? Falconers.
Is there anything wider?
Yeah.
Because people were flying drones into the. They would open it up and people would fly drones in, and just be watching the game on their drones.
Wow,
yeah,
dude.
So they had to get Falconers.
With Falcons,
yeah. To go get the drone and then bring it back down.
Okay. That shit's so funny, dude.
Crazy, right? Y'all will have to go through that. Trust me. As soon as they start opening up that thing, they're gonna start flying drones in there.
It's the future.
I got another one coming at 2:30.
Oh yeah.
It gives us about 1:20.
That. Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yee.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all ready? We got all the shots and everything. All right. Yeah. Bruce Leroy.
Yeah, where that other camera at? Because I seen it, but I didn't see it.
What? You paranoid?
No, I ain't paranoid. I'm just
you on the run right now?
I got a hidden camera in here somewhere.
Oh, you mean when you see it on?
It's all right there.
I was like, where is that?
It's all right there.
Oh, it's all from the
movie magic.
From the Lumax joint, huh?
Yeah.
I need to get me a thin camera like that because mine is heavy. And I got the
DSLR.
Yeah, I got the 5D Mark IV. So that thing is about 12 pounds.
Yeah, it's not as easy to travel with because that shoots 4K also.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of everything you need. But if you have a multimedia company like you do, you know, I mean, I only really need it for this and maybe taking photos, but you may need it for more substantial projects.
Yeah.
Or maybe not.
That's my baby, man. I actually, more than my children, I put more resources into that camera.
You have children?
I have two kids, man.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I think they're mine too. So I love them.
I think they're mine. Yo, how old are you? First off,
33, bro.
So you're 33. You have two kids. You have a multimedia company.
Yeah.
You have your own comedy club.
Yep.
I'm 30.
Oh, hey.
I have a dog.
A bike.
I don't have a bike, man.
Bro, you don't got a bike? You better get you
a
bike.
I have a set of old golf clubs.
Do they still fit, though? Are they like kids where you got to bend down hella far?
It's been a minute. I just have them.
Because I got some clubs in my garage that I know my dad bought them for me when I was like 15, so.
What came first? Not the clubs or anything, but like in this whole kind of. You're building it seems like you're starting to build your own platform because we're talking about podcasting off the air as well.
Yeah,
so it's
what
did you start doing comedy first? Like what kind of sparked this creative empire you've kind of started to develop?
It was the visuals first. Actually, I got into media because I knew what I eventually wanted to be on stage or in front of a camera. And I was playing Call of Duty, bro. I had just bought. I'm a Halo guy. So I'm like, Call of Duty, those transfer, that skill transfer. I got Call of Duty. And some little 8-year-old was kicking my ass, bro. Whooping me, talking mad shit too. And I was like, man, you know what? Fuck this game. And I took the game and I took all of the controls and I had to like a PS3 or 4, whichever one it was, Xbox, all the games, all the controllers. I took it back to Best Buy. I was like, yo, take all of this, give me my money back. And they were like, we can't give you your money back, sir, but we can give you store credit.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me about $1,000. And I was like, what can I use in Best Buy? And I bought a camera. And then learn how to use the camera. And so that's how my multimedia company started.
How old were you?
23.
And because you went to school for like the graphic design or visual.
My degree is in occupational safety and health management with a minor in security. So I worked in that field all the way until last year.
I thought I saw you went to like Indiana State for graphic. I thought it was like marketing or something.
No, I was one of those kids that changed their degree field like 90 times.
Oh,
so I started off with computer information systems. Then I went to graphic design. Then I went to business administration. Then I went to something else. And then I went into safety and I was like, you know, I don't want to be a sophomore for another 3 years.
Right, so right.
What classes do I got that's going to get me through this?
Yeah. So what I'm really looking to get out of this interview also is, it's just funny. I love, since I've been doing this podcast for so long, it's so funny the people you run into. And I'm like, we're out at a comedy club, me trying to connect with Vanessa Mitchell for an interview, and we end up connecting. And I'm like, yeah, we should definitely do this podcast.
I appreciate you having me.
Because you're a comedian, but what I think so important also is you're so much more than just a comedian.
Yeah, man.
And I think as comedians, we can get caught up in that one dimension of like, I'm a stand-up and this is what I do. Yeah. But now more than ever, and I know this just personally and from interviewing so many people now, is like being one thing is not enough.
It's hard. It's hard to specialize.
Yeah. And but even if like somebody sees you on stage, like even if it's like a booker or like somebody in the quote industry, they're gonna be like, okay, what else do you have? Yeah. Can you act? Do you have a podcast? Like, what are your other skills? So you're almost like a Swiss Army knife. So I definitely want people to be able to learn from how you've been able to develop so many different skills and become proficient at them.
Okay.
And also just your overall just creative process, you know.
My thought process basically around this whole thing, it's something that I had to develop over the time, was I want to be able to create my own opportunities. I don't want to have to be in the quote unquote rat race if I don't have to. Like, I mean, sometimes you have to be in the rat race just so that people know who you are and you can, you know, see the other people in there. But at some point, something that you do has to separate, like you said, separate you from the pack.
Right.
You know, and so I started doing all type of other stuff, and then I started to see like, oh, there's rat races for each of these different fields. So what if I start to combine all of those together? What happens? And since I've been doing that, it's like, oh, well, look, skip the line here, skip the line there.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, shit, let me keep doing this. So,
how do you develop different skills?
Just do shit, bro. I tell people all the time, just if there's something that you like to do, just do it. Even if you don't know if you can do it, just start. You know, because once you start the process of something, your brain starts to thinking about it and you start to break down. OK, well, how can I do this different? How can I make this work? And once you start that pattern, once you start on a journey, you learn new things about something that you've never done before. And you just they might apply to other journeys that you're on.
Yeah.
So that's the dope part about it.
That's what I found in creativity, is like maybe graphic design will also inform how I start to look at how I write my material and adding new layers and thinking about the hierarchy of my material, just like you would like the hierarchy of like a poster or whatever. Do you find that interaction to be true also?
Yeah, I do, especially in comedy. Well, because comedy, you can get on stage and talk about whatever you want to.
Right.
And so I can talk about being a yoga instructor in my class. I talk about my yoga class. I talk about, you know, having to Photoshop people that, you know, don't necessarily want to pay for the Photoshop. I can talk about, you know, being at work, you know. So the more things, the more topics that I have that there are another rat race pack, then there's more people that can, you know, that it resonates with them.
Uh-huh.
And then I can start to go to different events where it's only yogis or only vegans or only people in multimedia. And I'm not trying to always get on a comedy club stage. I can go do a conference, or I can go do, you know, a event that's specific to vegans, you know.
So looking for niches.
Oh, hell
yeah. Or niches.
That's what I was trying to figure out which one it was.
Niches or niches.
Because there's that little the little thing in front of over the E. And I was like, is it niche or niche? Because my mom told me niche. But I know sometimes her words don't be doing what she think they doing. You know what I mean?
I've been heckled. I've said niche on stage and I had a lady yell out, it's niche. And I'm just like,
I've been saying niche, but then I wasn't sure if I was saying the shit right. Because, you know, I want to sound like I got a niche that I'm doing. People going to be like a niche.
It's ISIS or ISIL, whatever you want to say.
Right, I swear.
Whatever fits the flavor.
That's what's up. Yeah.
So you're looking for niches. We'll go with niches on this.
Let's run with niche. I'm not even looking for them. I'm using the ones that I have, and I'm capitalizing on them. Like, literally, it's crazy that there are opportunities out there. It's people doing all type of shit that you're doing, and you might not necessarily know because you don't really like push the issue or push the envelope for that. I mean, not you specifically, but you could be a freaking mechanic.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a mechanics conference somewhere, but you're also a comedian. And you're like, hey, y'all want some comedy? I know I talk about being my life as a mechanic. So how about a 30 minute set? You know, I'm sure you guys got a budget. And they'd be like, oh yeah, we got $2,500 for you. Sure. I'm like, oh
yeah, comedy clubs would be like $300 a weekend. And you're like, wait, what?
$2,500? And I'll go do an event and I'll make like $3,000.
How do you find these events?
Now they find me. But I started to press the end. I started to go to those events and I started to just network. Like, hey, I do this. Hey, I do this. And then once I got my TV cred, it was a lot easier. So once I got that TV cred in Minneapolis, it's a little bit different. Because here in Atlanta, those opportunities come, you know, twice, three times a day. In Minneapolis, those opportunities are very few and far between. So once they happen, everybody knows. Mm-hmm. And once everybody knows, they're saying, okay, well, how can we get something different in? And me being in Minneapolis, it's like 7 black people up there. So they're like, oh, and you're black? Affirmative action.
Check out the box.
Heck yeah. We got him in here. We got one, y'all. So we cool.
I feel you. Atlanta, it's like the opposite. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're white? Yeah, come be the guy.
I swear to God. I was like, yo, where y'all at? Because I've been looking for hot dish and casseroles for a minute. I couldn't find no casseroles.
So you'll actively get on Google or Eventbrite and seek out like a yoga event or, I mean, whatever your passion is, you know.
Nah, I can't even say that I do that yet. I probably, because Eventbrite ain't popping like that up there. It's popping here. Now I know about that because I've been here. But there it's, you know, Facebook.
Facebook, cool.
And then you just got to be just doing stuff. Like, I'm going to yoga classes and people are like, I know you from the comedy club. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, you know what? I got an event coming up. You think that? And I'm like, you got a budget?
Boom.
And they're like, yeah, we do. And it's way more than what the comedy club is paying, you know, so.
How did you, because it's so crazy, the comedy club, it's called Baddies.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been open that long.
It has. In February, we opened our club location February of 2017. We started the brand in about, I would say August or May of the year before of 16. And it was really like I said, we were three black comedians trying to get on at clubs where it wasn't a whole bunch of black comedians there. So, you know, they're like, we don't want to scare our audience away with your urbanness. So,
even you?
Yeah,
the
really.
Vegan yogi with the beard tie.
Look, it's this is what I'm saying. This right here is threatening. This is threatening right here. With this braid, they be like, not ODB. You can't come in here, bro. No Wu-Tang Clan in here. So it was hard for us to get on stage, bro. And so, instead of trying to fight for opportunities, you're like, let's create our own opportunities. And in doing that, we found that there were a lot of people that were looking for that same opportunity.
Oh, okay.
And so we opened a door that allowed, 10s, 20s, 30s, you know, other comedians to have a place to practice. Because that's what comedy is about. If I can't get on stage and work material out, I'm never going to be able to get to the point to where I can deliver in front of a audience.
Mm-hmm.
And so we gave people that opportunity and also gave ourselves the opportunity because, I mean, before Baddies, I was on stage maybe once a week, twice a week, but Baddies gave me the opportunity to be on stage like 6 times in a week. And so now I'm working shit out.
That's what it takes too. Yeah. You gotta live on stage, man.
Yeah, yeah. And so now I have opportunity to, like, I mean, even the, so I did the Heart of the City, the Kevin Hart TV show.
Which, but by no big deal, the club opens up and then all of a sudden Kevin Hart's like, hey, let's film a TV show here.
Yeah, yeah, which was dope, man. We had a couple people lobbying for us, man, and a couple people saying, hey, you guys should go there just because of our story. And everybody knew how we came about. But once that happened, it opened a lot of doors for all three of us and other comedians in the Twin Cities. So that was definitely a big thing. But I forgot where I was going at the beginning of that.
It was the Baddies origin story.
Well, yeah. So
what does the name mean also?
Why so Baddies? one of our owners is a pervert. Okay, and so
that's good branding.
Yeah. So the goal was to be like the Hooters of comedy.
Oh my God.
So we're gonna have baddies everywhere running around. And that's what we did. Like this little guy, his name is Brandon Reilly. Shout out to my boy Brandon. Mm. He is the king of the friend zone.
Okay.
I swear to God, like this dude is amazing at, you know, the talent that he can bring in off of his friend zone-ness. Like, it's crazy. We had beautiful women, you know, basically volunteering for weeks and weeks at a time to help us run this comedy club. And people were like, yo, who is that? Who is that? Who is that? We didn't know. We'd be like, you gotta ask Brandon, because I don't know none of these. Both of us had both me and Pierre had female counterparts at the time. And so we had to be like, I don't know who.
Counterparts.
Yeah, like, yeah. So one of them, like, I ain't married. I ain't married. So he got a wife. I had a girl.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's different. We have female counterparts. Uh-huh. I like that. I'm going to use that. I have a female counterpart. Next time I holler at somebody, you got a girlfriend? I got a counterpart.
I got a counterpart, a paramour. Right. Yeah, I'm just right. A spirit, man.
So yeah, that's where the name came from. We just was beautiful women, baddies all over at all times. And okay. So, you know.
I really thought, you being this spiritual guy, that it went deeper than that, but it's really just
it's shallow,
bad.
Bro,
it's
shallow.
Just baddies.
My spiritualness is because of the other side. I got to have something to break that up. It's like,
you just need the yin and yang.
I need it. It's definitely the yin and yang. It's definitely the yin and yang. Like, I started practicing yoga because I was going crazy. I was like spazzing on people. I was like, I need something to bring me back.
Go there. Tell us. Rock bottom.
It wasn't necessarily rock bottom. I just was, I don't know, I want to say I had a temper, but I was ready for action at all times. Okay. Like, if it had to go down, I wanted to know where it was going to go down, because I was probably going to jump it off.
Okay.
And that can lead to trouble. And, you know, I was like in my 20s. It wasn't college no more. It wasn't, you know, cool to just be getting in trouble like that. And so I had to have something that was kind of just bringing me down. And it was an accident. I didn't know that it was going to do that. So I started doing yoga.
Just on a humbug?
Man, I followed a girl into a class.
Uh-huh.
You know how you go to like one of them big ass gyms and you don't necessarily be following her, but you know which way she went.
Don't put me in that.
Yeah, you know how it be. You be like, damn, why? It's a whole bunch of things going around that corner. That's what I call them, things. It's a whole bunch of things going around that corner. What is around that corner? And I walked around the corner and I started smelling eucalyptus and the lights got low. And I seen things ranging from age like 22 to like 87. And I was like, what is this? I went into the class and I figured that I would be able to know what I was doing because I was an athlete, but it was super difficult and I was sweating because I didn't know it was heated, and I failed.
Oh, nice.
And so it had been a long time as an athlete that I had failed at doing it.
You were like All-American, right?
Yeah. So when I left the class, I was like, yo, that was nuts. And the next day, my body felt amazing. I was like, yo, I've never felt this good after working out ever. Mm. And I was like addicted after that. And then after that, you know, it just was like I was seeking it out. I was like, where's the yoga? And it kind of, the spirituality of it just comes. Like, I didn't even have to really dive really deep into it. But like, imagine this, if I'm trying to balance myself upside down or even on 2 feet on a tightrope, I'm focused so hard on controlling my body. There's nothing else that can be on my mind. Mm. And so that was my realization that I was in like the right now moment. And being in the right now moment is so refreshing, because you're not worried about any moments previous, or you're not worried about what you got to do after you leave here. You are right here in the moment, figuring out yourself. And that was stupid powerful for me. And once I realized what was happening, I was like, oh yeah, I need this. And I need to show other people about this, especially other people from my neighborhood, because we spaz out if we need to spaz out. And sometimes you can just be like, let me just be right here for a second and bring myself back to, you know.
It must help in stand-up too, with breathing and being more relaxed on stage.
Especially that moment right before you go on stage, because that's the worst moment, is right before you go out there, you get that empty. It's like when you're running track, anybody that ever ran track knows, if you're running like the 4x4, right before the race, you get that empty feeling in your stomach. And it's like, oh, I don't want to do this because I know what I'm going to feel like afterwards. But in comedy, it's different, but it's the same feeling prior to that, that nervousness, that anxiousness. Like, I just want to hurry up and get this over with.
Right.
It helps with that, because now I just breathe. You know, I say my little mantra and then I go do my thing.
What's your mantra?
You are enough.
You are enough.
Yeah.
And you just, like, when you say your mantra, you repeat it multiple times. Like, what is your pre-show kind of ritual there?
That's basically, before I go on stage, I'll do deep breaths. I'll go to myself and I'll do deep breaths. And each breath, I'll inhale with "you are," and then I'll exhale with "enough." And I inhale with "you are," exhale with 3 times, and then I'm good.
Okay. So it's like, as you're inhaling, you say "you are" in your head. So it's, and out through your mouth or out through your nose?
Yep. It's "you are." So it's really "soham."
Okay.
Soham. Try it.
But you don't say it out loud. It's all in your head, right?
Kind of, yeah.
But in through your nose, out through your mouth.
Well, you can say "so" with an inhale.
So? But "so" is almost an exhale.
Almost.
So.
It's really just a movement of air.
And how woke you are.
It's a movement of air. So? Thinking something, if you hear that sound, you hear a it could be something that's sucking some air in really fast, or something that's blowing some air out.
So it's
open this part, like,
yeah, I'm like all tense.
But yeah, like
drowning on air.
Literally, it's just literally me telling myself and affirming the fact that whatever I do is gonna be okay, because it's gonna there's gonna be another moment.
Okay, let's do this for the listeners. Everybody listening, hopefully they'll be doing this with us now.
Okay, you ready?
So guide us through it.
Okay, so first thing you want to do is just relax yourself. Okay. Don't be tense anywhere. Relax your muscles. If you're sitting down, it's best to have your feet on the ground, okay? Because that's going to help you straighten your back, the alignment of your spine. Now, I'm in a taller seat, so I have an angle at my legs a little bit. But having your feet on the ground, inhale as big as possible. You can do that 3 times. There you go. And one more last time. Inhale as much as possible. Fill your lungs up. Fill them up. There you go. And then exhale completely. Empty your lungs. Almost engage your core at the end. There you go. Yeah. Did you hear that last part of your breath?
That's it.
That's it.
That's the prana.
That's it, bro.
Namaste,
bro.
You're welcome, Hot Breathiverse. Everybody in the studio was just like,
it definitely got warm in here. It definitely got warm. You see my neck is sweating a little bit.
Well, if you need any water, we got the Fontis water going on.
It's room temperature though, bro. So
that's for you.
I appreciate that.
Oh, it's room temperature.
Let me taste it though. Is this spring water?
This is spring water.
Okay, y'all woke in here.
Blue Ridge Mountains of Georgia, man.
Is it bottled at the source?
I have no idea.
Hey, cheers.
My bad, man.
All good.
Cheers.
I rock with it.
Because I know you do the 50 Days of Water Challenge.
You done did some research, bro.
We out here, man.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, man. So I do a lot of water, bro. Water is my stuff.
Yeah. That's what Tierra Burrell, who was on here last week, was talking about water. And people think of it as a liquid, but it's actually like an element. Because Tierra is like vegan over 10 years. Yeah. She's like a guru of the lifestyle. Yeah, now.
She might know a little bit more about the whole element side. Well, I mean, of course it's an element, but to me, water is the beginning of a change for me. That's why I do 50 days of water. It's like that is the first step, like the easiest step, the freest step that you can do to promote change. And I just did it for discipline. I was like working, I was doing all these different businesses, and I got to the point to where I was drinking a Red Bull with my dinner every night. Yeah.
That's a lot of sugar,
like
too.
The big battery can, like the big one.
Gosh.
Yeah, like the $3-4 one. I used to get one of them and I used to just have it on the table with me and drink it.
Yeah. That probably affects your temperament too. Like that's something we talk about with Tierra, is like, it's not like you are what you eat. It's like you eat what you are.
Yeah.
Is how she framed it. And just like, it affects your overall cognitive ability and what you're actually putting in your body.
It's crazy. There's so many little aspects to how you function and how you move that you don't even think about. You know, and water, what you put in your body is definitely one of them, but your environment, there's so many things, what you're going through, your family, your job, all of these things contribute to who you are as a person and how you deal with people. The first, like I said, water is the easiest thing. Like I drink a whole bunch of other stuff, but if I stop and I actually pay attention to what I'm doing and I insert discipline by forcing myself to not drink anything else but water, and then watch my body and watch how it responds. You'd be like, oh, wow.
So the challenge isn't a specific amount of water. It's just to only drink water and for 50 days.
My experience with the whole amount of water thing is there is no universally agreed upon amount of water that you should drink, just because everybody does something different. You know, somebody might be indoors all day, somebody might be running laps or running miles. Depends on what you're doing. So drink whatever you are comfortable with drinking, but listen to your body and watch your body. Like, you know, you watch your color of your pee. If you're peeing and it's brown, bro, you should probably drink a lot more water.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? There's other things that go into that, but just listen to your body and your body will tell you what you need. When you're thirsty, you should have been drinking water.
Yeah, I think it's important, especially for comedians when we'll be doing shows out at bars and all that. I think a big part is the environment piece of surrounding yourself with people you want to be like. So if you are at open mics and there's a comedian you gravitate towards, there's a comedian that's doing a lot of things like you are, like I gravitated to you because you're like on Photoshop and you have this comedy club and like you do all these different things. And I'm like, that's what I want to be more like that.
Yeah, man.
So I gravitated towards
Towards each other. Cause I saw, I was like, oh, okay. We on the same wavelength. I see your camera. I was like, okay. But yeah, but I mean, it's really a culture, especially in comedy. Like I'm in clubs all the time. You know, I'm getting approached by women all the time. I'm getting approached by men all the time. So it's different because you can just let go and just fall into that. And, you know, it is going to definitely take a toll on you. It might be a good toll. It might be a bad toll. Mm-hmm. But when you have more control, like for me, I specifically did 50 days of water when I came to Atlanta so that I wouldn't drink.
Smart.
Because there's no telling what I would run into. There's no telling what type of environment that I was going to be in. I was not sure. So I said, let me make sure that at least my head is clear so that I can make decisions and move how I need to move when I'm down there. So it's really been good for me because I've been able to accomplish a whole bunch since I've been down here. So
being like not drunk.
Yeah, yeah. Really. I mean, I'm telling you, if I would have had alcohol involved in this trip, I probably would not have been as productive as I.
And it saves money too.
Yeah, it does. Well, I drink for free, bro. I'm a finesse king.
Oh, you're a baddie.
I am a finesse king. I don't remember the last time I paid for a beverage at a bar.
No.
I mean, it's just, you know, building relationships with people, and then you know who the drunks are. You know who is buying drinks for everybody.
Okay.
You're like, Earl, what's up, baby? All right, here I come.
Uh-huh.
That's how I go. And next thing you know, we taking shots around the table.
Gotcha.
That's how I go, man.
So, in getting back to the environment a little bit, you taping with Kevin Hart and being in his environment and in his, when you get into the orbit of people at that level, you've got to be able to take some lessons from it.
So that's the whole thing that I was doing that was a little, maybe a little bit different from other people. Like Kevin Hart was, what he made, like $100 million last year in comedy, like icon status.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah.
Super icon. And everybody is like a little bit starstruck when they run into him and when they meet him. For me, it wasn't necessarily like that. Like my goal was to be in his energy field. Let me observe what you got going on, how you move.
Exactly.
So that maybe I can pull from that blueprint that you have and create it for myself. Super dope. What people don't realize is I was on Harder City season 2, episode 7, I believe, Twin Cities episode. And this was the last episode where they were actually coming, the last season, season 2 was where he was actually going to the place and going into the clubs.
Ah.
So that was the last time that that stuff was happening. And so it was super dope because, he definitely helped our brand, our comedy brand with Baddies. He definitely helped me, as a, you know, my own brand. But it gave me the opportunity to see behind the scenes how he moves and how he works. I didn't get to just sit and chill with Kevin for the weekend or nothing like that. It was literally like, all right, Kevin's going to be here in 5 minutes. Everybody ready? Place his camera. All right, Kevin's here. Get him on stage. Do your thing. All right, Kevin's out of here. Peace.
That's what I'm talking about. The operational side.
It was like, I was like, yo, that's how it works?
Yeah.
And I didn't know that before. I was in the dark. And so looking in, and so now that I know that, I have a much better understanding of how things work. So when I run into situations like that and I'm meeting people that are on that level, it's not a personal thing for me. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me observe. Let me be a sponge real quick. Take all my notes and get, you know, that information. As well as the opportunity, but I'm here to get that information because some way I might be able to use that and or help somebody else if they're trying to figure out how to do that.
Right.
Know, or they're going through that situation. This is how it's going to go type situation.
How do they even, Baddies was so new and you said you had people vouching for you. Like how?
Man, I don't know how it happened, but I know that we definitely had people that were saying, hey, you should choose Baddies.
Okay.
I'm not sure exactly who it was. I know we had the city of many of the Twin Cities vouching for us. I know a comedian named Shed G. He's one of my OGs in comedy. I know he might have vouched for us somewhere. I know the city, the city was like, hey, these guys are doing something. You should look into them. So,
okay.
And then we were working for it too. Like me and my brother Pierre, the other owner of Baddies, we went to go see Kevin at his book signing. He did a book signing in the Mall of America for
the environment.
His, yeah.
Just we were like, in the orbit.
Yo, we know that he's about to do that. Let's go see if we can put a bug in his ear. And the crazy part about it is when we got there, it was the same situation. It was like, here, take your picture with Kevin, get off stage. Mm-hmm. And so we developed a plan like, okay, you right after me, you say the first half of the sentence and then I'm going to finish the end of the sentence.
Yes.
And so he got up there and he was like, hey, I'm Pierre. I'm at Baddies Comedy Club. And he was like, Baddies? Oh yeah, I know about Baddies. We're going to be there. And I was like, he was like, yo, he said he already know. And then I froze up. So I got up there. I was like, oh, you are. Oh, okay. Take my picture. And I got up out of there. And then like within a week, we got a phone call that said they were going to come and scout our location.
Wow.
And then from there, it was up to us to kind of just, you know, show who we were, tell our story and see if they picked us. And it happened like that. So we definitely put in work. It wasn't just, you know, given to us. We were working for it. And we were making moves to make sure that, you know, what we wanted was going to come to us. But it definitely was a blessing that came, you know, unexpectedly. You know, you expect something, but you submit and forget. Matter of fact, I posted that on my Facebook today.
Submit
what you need to submit to get what you need, and then you let it go. Let the universe have it, and don't worry about it. Don't think about it, because if you're supposed to get it, it's for you. Nobody else can have your opportunity. It's specifically for you.
Yeah.
And that opportunity was for us.
I think that's a big thing for comics is so many are so lazy.
Yeah.
Or it's I don't know. There's almost like an entitlement in terms of, but I'm an artist that I'm on stage and I have this message. Yeah. And to be able to almost think in terms of, like you said, we didn't just stumble upon the opportunity for Kevin Hart to tape at our club. We worked for that.
Yeah, we was working.
So I think it's important for people to understand that it's cool to have high ambitions, but then take away the entitlement of it'll happen because I'm me.
Yeah.
It's more like, no, set the bar and then go jump it. For it.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. It's like anything you do, man. You have to have a idea of what you want and start to put forward action towards getting there.
Mm.
And it could be little small steps. I actually recommend that people take small steps. And when you can take a big step, take that big step. And that a big step ain't nothing but a whole bunch of small steps all at once.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you got to take steps towards it. Now, there's definitely anomalies. I don't know if that's the right word, but anomalies in those different situations to where, hey, luck of the draw, we picked you. But those are very few and far between. If you're taking steps towards what you want, the universe is going to send it to you in some shape or form. That's how I feel.
When you're developing all these different disciplines, like whether it be the graphic design, like what all, maybe run down your resume really quick in terms of like all the different skill sets, maybe you're kind of all the different plates you're spinning. Maybe let's start there.
So I'm a father. That's the first thing. I'm a father. I have two. I got a 1-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Congratulations. I'm so sorry.
But yo, they're so motivating, bro. Like,
that's what I've heard. Yeah.
My goal is to make sure that they understand that you don't have to fit into the box. You don't have to do what everybody else did. Like, bro, I got my college paid for. I was on a full ride scholarship, athletic. I graduated. I worked for Fortune 500s for my entire career. Then I went and worked for the state of Minnesota. Everybody wants to have a government job. And then I actually, when I got vested in the state, I took that, they matched my 401k. I was like, well, that's it for me. I'm going to take that money. I'm going to buy equipment so that I have everything that I need for my business. And then now I'm gone. So I did what I was supposed to do. And after that, I said, no, now I want to do what I want to do. But now that I'm doing what I want to do, I realized that I could have been doing what I wanted to do a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I just had a fear of leaving that box. And everybody else, you know, they fed into my fears. You know, like even when I quit my job, when I put my 2-week notice in, that was huge for me because I always got fired. I was like, I never put 2 weeks in. I always got fired. And so for me to put 2 weeks in and tell them that I was leaving was like so liberating. Like I'm about to do what I want to do. And crazy part about it is at my job, even the people were like, oh, so what do you mean? You're like 30. How are you going to, what are you doing? They can't even wrap their minds around how to live outside of having a job working for somebody else. My goal is to not be working for nobody else. My goal is to create something that I can pass on to my kids that will be theirs.
And how did you know you were ready to leave your job? That's a big leap for a lot of people.
I knew that I was ready because I would go to work and I would not want to be there.
But were you financially prepared?
No.
Oh, so you just took the jump on blind faith.
I very much so did.
Okay.
I knew that I had 4 or 5 things that I could do that would make money.
Okay. So you had, it wasn't blind then. You were like, I have a plan in terms of
I
have
$1,000 in my bank account.
Okay. That's so real.
You know, not a whole bunch of money.
That's real. Yeah.
Not $1,000 in total and all of them together. That means this one got 16. Yeah. This one got 7, 30, 38, 22. You know, all together, it was about $1,000. And I was like, yo, with this $1,000, I can do a whole, I mean, Facebook ads don't cost nothing. You know, I know that I know my way around media. I know my way around my city. I know my way around doing things at a high level to where I can monetize my talents.
Mm-hmm.
I have intellectual property. And I started to listen to audiobooks and stuff that entrepreneurs were doing. Like my favorite one was the 4-Hour Work Week.
That Tim Ferriss.
That rang right to me. I was like, 4-Hour Work Week. That sounds like what I want to do. So for 4 hours, you work your business. And then the rest of the time you have either to build another business or to kick it with your family or whatever you want to do in those other hours.
Mm-hmm.
So feeding my mind with those type of things started to send me in a different, on a different thought pattern of how to attack this. And it's definitely, you know, a journey. It's definitely a trial and error. I definitely didn't immediately go into being rich or anything like that. I know that I started that path, and then things started to come. Like, so before Heart of the City even happened, I did this. So before I was on TV, we had the club, and the club was doing okay, but we wasn't making any money, really. We were just making enough for it to keep
sustaining.
Going. Exactly.
Yeah.
So we weren't making any money off of that. I was teaching yoga at the time, so I was making money teaching yoga. My multimedia company was doing well, so I was making money doing that. And that was pretty much it. I had merch, so 50 Days of Water and 50 Days Vegan. Merch was selling for that. Okay, cool. I can pay my bills. I can travel a little bit if I need to travel. But I by far I was not comfortable. But I stepped out on faith. I took the leap. And my parachute opened up while I was falling down, you know? So it's still not all the way open. It's slowing me down from hitting the ground. It's hard.
But you had a parachute.
I didn't know that, though. I did not know that I had a parachute on the whole time. Well, it probably was like when I bought my camera, that was me buying the bag. And then, you know, all the little things I was doing. Okay, then I had the parachute, but I didn't know there was a parachute on my back. I thought it was a weight that was holding me down, right? I'm thinking that this is a boulder on my back, and I'm in this plane. If I jump, I'm going to flatten myself at the bottom. But it's a parachute back there, and I'm scared to jump. But when I jumped, I started to realize, oh, you got this. You got this. Just use it. And once you learn how to use it, and once you start using it, you start to learn how to use it, and you get better and better and better at it. And then eventually, that parachute opens up.
Yeah, I think that self-awareness is the parachute.
Yeah.
And taking inventory before, like when I jumped into like full-time, I made a list of like the pros and cons.
Yeah.
So like best case scenario and worst case scenario of what's going to happen in taking this leap.
Yeah.
So it's not like you, because all comedians want to be like, I want to be full-time or whatever. Well, it's not like, well, I'll just be full-time and just
chill,
keep doing open mics, you know. But it's like, going full time, great, but have some sort of game plan, take inventory on what your skills are and how you can start to monetize those to help supplement the income you're going to be losing.
Very much so.
Because, and I think if you go into it with that mindset, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah.
Not for every, I mean, somebody's going to now go full time. Well, I heard on Hot Breath, you just go full time and magic.
You
got
to go get it.
You got to work.
You have to go get it. Because once you're full time, it's up to you. You're gonna see all your friends doing all the stuff on the weekends because they just got paid, and you got 15 invoices out. You waiting for people to, you know, pay, all that type of stuff. You know, happens. Like, literally, I have had times where I'm looking like, okay, what am I gonna eat? Because I got this food, I gotta feed this to the kids. I don't got nothing to eat. You know what I'm saying? Mm. But you know, a week later, invoice randomly gets paid. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know, that type of stuff happens. So it's definitely a journey. It's definitely a grind. You definitely have to accept the fact that you are in complete control. It's up to you, period. Mm. Nobody else going to give you nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you have family that can help, great. If you don't, it's on you, bro, period. You got to go get it.
How do you attack your days? Are you organized? Do you have time management? Or like how will you attack
your
days?
I found
that
here.
Okay.
I had a friend named Kimberly that I met here. She's also vegan, and she's given me a few tools since I've been here to help my organization game. I'm leaving here with a whole new mindset.
Ooh,
and that's the reason why I came here. I brought myself to a different environment to pick up skills from people that are in a busier, you know, environment like that.
And I think it's important real quick. Environment is also like you said, you started listening to audiobooks and different podcasts. Like that's part of your environment
very
as well.
So.
But
very
please keep
so.
Going on that.
And so, you know, I don't know if it's ADHD or ADD, but my brain works as like this. Like I cannot sit and do something for a long time. I'll get burned out. I'll be like, no, I can't even look at this anymore. I could be in the middle of a project. Like, I can't even look at this anymore. I need to go do something else. And then I'll switch over to whatever the other field that it is I'm in. And then I'll go hard on that for a little while. And then it might be like I'm going hard for a couple hours, or it might be I get re-inspired to go all the way in on that. It just kind of depends on what's going on, my environment as well. Timing is huge. Like right now, what's going to be good for me right now to attack?
Yeah.
And right now, like being here, I'm like, okay, it's time for me to attack this. It's time for me to attack this. And it's time for me to attack that, because they're watching me right now. And it's a moment for me to capitalize and put myself at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's organized chaos for me. But now I have a couple tools that I am going to insert in to help make it a lot more organized on a, you know, from the outside in.
What are those tools?
So one of them, apps. She gave me an app called Trello. And I think I had heard of it before.
Okay.
But I didn't have any organizational tools like that. Trello, Slack is another one where, you know, I can communicate with other people in another. It's almost like text messaging, but you can do it with your projects. Slack was another one she gave. She gave me some tools that helped me to look at my social media analytics. I didn't really care about none of that stuff. But now I know who's looking at me. I did not know that who my audience was. And she gave me tools like, okay, this is who's watching you. And this is the second group that's watching you. And I was like, what? Oh, I'm finna have my shirt off all the time. Now I know I thought it was guys. So I was like, oh, I ain't finna take my shirt off. And I know that it's women between the ages of 25 and 34. Oh, I'm finna be out here.
Doing all your yoga.
Right, yeah. But yeah. I have an understanding now. And so now I can be more specific with how I move.
Mm-hmm.
So she gave me so many gems, and I'm super appreciative. She gave me so many gems that I'm going to take home and I'm going to use for myself, but I'm also going to tell my homeboys, like, look, this is what you need. This is what you need. And I'm also going to bring it to shorties, like kids, like, look, there's this, 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 this. 'Cause that's my goal, is not only for my kids, but for the kids that are in my neighborhood who don't know, like they don't have an idea that these resources are out there.
It's not in their environment.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? They don't know that. And so if I can go back and be like, yo, this is what you want to do, this? This is what you do. These are the first steps you do. Look at this website. Go to creativelive.com and take the free courses that they're going to give you all day long. Give them resources so that they can start to feed that monster.
Mm-hmm.
And then that monster is just going to grow, and eventually it could be something huge. And, you know,
You have any other insights to help comics start to feed that monster? Is there anything that you found to be helpful beyond organization or just
for comedy?
Because I really want to inspire comedians to think beyond. I mean, stand-up is awesome. That's my baby. That's the core. But for them to start diversifying their skills, you know what I mean?
I think that for comedy, for me, it's more than me trying to. Like I said, it's a rat race. Everybody wants to go to the comedy theater or the theater and try to hustle their way on stage, which is dope. You definitely want to be able to get on stage and be able to practice your stuff. So definitely practice your stuff, but also go to these places without expectation. Okay, so don't go expecting to get on stage. Don't go expecting to meet nobody. Just go to be around the environment, talk to people. Take time to talk to the people and see what people are doing outside of comedy, because then you start to have a better perspective of how other people are advancing. Because if I didn't talk to you, I would never known that you had a podcast like this.
Right.
I would never seen this setup. I walked in. I was like, oh, note taken. Note. Oh, snap. Note. You know what I'm saying? It's all things that you can utilize in your own realm. You know, you might not be able to utilize everything, but I tell people all the time, and I tell this to my kids, like, if you look outside, all you see is cars everywhere. Every car means that there is 1 to 8 people inside of that building. Every person knows something that you don't know. Every one of them knows something that you don't know. It's up to you to pull that out. And this something that you don't know could be their own personal theory. And that theory could be the solution to one of your problems.
Yes.
So it's your job to network and to talk to people and to figure out how you can get that information about them.
I like that going in without expectations. Because how we crossed paths, I was going to the comedy club to interview Finesse Mitchell. And it was going to, we were going to squeeze it in between shows. And it just, all right, the next show. Because, I mean, he had, this is hometown. This is almost like a homecoming tour for him. So the timing didn't work out.
That's it.
But we got to meet each other. And what was even cooler is, we, instead of interviewing Finesse Mitchell, I end up getting, we end up chilling in the green room with like him and like maybe like three other people for like 2 hours.
Just politicking about.
Just learn. Like absorbing game from everyone in the room.
Very much so.
Way more useful than sitting with him for 30 minutes one-on-one. Because now we have the relationship. So when we do the interview,
it's going to be comfortable.
It's going to be like friends. Instead of like, well, here's this kid who just keeps hustling, trying to
Where's this going to be? Or whether, you know, you know how it goes. So, when you'd be like, can I interview? You'd be like, wait, who are you? And then, now you've built a bridge with him.
Exactly.
You've built a relationship with him. And so now he's be like, oh, Joe, what's up, bro? You know, and it's going to be a lot smoother next time it goes. It's no expectations for me. I definitely have things that I'm ready. Like, if you stay ready, you ain't got to get ready. I'm definitely on that wave. But I don't have any expectations. I'm cool about it. I'm going to lobby for myself, definitely. But I'm not going to stress because I know that at the end of the day, I create my opportunities.
Yes.
There's nobody else that creates the opportunity for me. If I want it, I'm going to go get it, period.
One of my favorite quotes from doing this podcast, I interviewed Chad Oubre, who is the producer of 85 South.
Okay. I love 85 South.
Oh, dude. We interviewed him in here.
Wow.
And I asked him, like, what was the strategy behind building this like platform? He's like, consistency was the only strategy.
Yeah.
Just keep doing what you're doing consistently. And it'll happen.
Yeah.
Just consistently.
You learn. It's troubleshooting, bro. Like, you're running to be like, dang. Like, man, yesterday we were filming my podcast. We weren't filming. We were actually going through the footage. And I'm looking at the footage. And I'm like, yo, what is this music that I hear? And I'm hearing music on the back end of all of the clips. I'm like, what is this? Come to find out, my mic is picking up AM radio frequencies.
What?
Like, what?
What?
Never heard of that before in my life, right? And so now I'm Googling and figuring out, and my homegirl, she found it, but I'm like, yo, now I know that there's steps that I have to do to get rid of that. And that's gonna, in the future, that's gonna cut the process down for me. Now I gotta go in, I gotta take out the noise, but I also gotta equalize the sound. So there's more steps that I gotta do now. But now that I've gone through that, I know for the next time that I'm not gonna have to do that. And that's every journey. Them small steps, you learn something. Every step you take, you learn something. You learn, oh, that was the right step. Oh, that was the wrong step. Maybe I need to step this way a little bit. So it's definitely consistency. Definitely keep going, keep doing it. It's gonna come.
Small steps make the big difference.
Huge, huge difference.
So I'm hoping this episode today really helped people to start building a self-awareness and also take inventory on what your personal skills are.
Yeah.
And then how you can turn them into a business. You know, take inventory on not just like the stand-up, which may be right in front of you, but look in your periffs on like, oh, you know, I've done a little graphic design over here. You know, I've done some acting. I've done some improv. Like, really, I've done some copywriting. Like, really look at what all of your skills are and then start to incorporate them into your entire business and creative process.
Very much so. I didn't even give you my little rundown. I stopped on my kids. It was like,
oh yeah, that is the one.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, you know, it's a process. Everything is a process. All the things that you do, I mean, all the things that I do started off small, off as little small things. And they were, after the first small step, I evaluated if I was interested in continuing that or nah. I took a lot of small steps where I was like, this ain't for me.
And what is a small step? What would you consider?
Following that girl into the yoga class.
Okay.
That was a small step. I would have never gone into that yoga class. Yoga has a stigmata about it being for women. But, you know, now that I'm in it for a long time, I realize that when it initially started, there were rarely any women that did yoga because it was known as like for the warriors. After they would come back from battle or something like that, they would do yoga to get their bodies back to, you know, functioning normally.
Whoa.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Now it's like the smooth jazz of yoga. Sorry, smooth jazz of fitness. So it kind of put a different aspect of what yoga was to me. And if you look at the way I teach my classes and the way I practice, it's difficult. You know, you'd be looking like, whoa, how is he doing that? And you'll see that there's a lot of strength and focus and athletic ability involved. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's super dope. Just that small step, though, was what introduced me to it. And then I saw that it was a limitless opportunities and room for growth.
So someone may have an interest in, let's say, graphic design. And then it's like, okay, where do I start? All right, let me go on YouTube and watch a tutorial. And if it clicks with you, that one small step, all right, take the next step. Something more specific about graphic design.
Yeah, man.
Or if it doesn't, then hey, move on.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool.
Definitely.
Well, dude, thanks for... This was real.
I appreciate you having me, bro.
Ooh,
I appreciate
the sauce.
You know, I try to drip too hard, stay too close. You're going to mess around and drown. Off this wave. Snap. That's my song, man. The thing about the radio, boy, I done heard that song 3,012 times since I've been here. Like, oh my God, y'all love y'all artists, boy.
Dude.
Artists.
You played that at the comedy club the other night, and I was like, I've never heard that. I've heard that
12 times.
Yes.
And that was last night, bro.
Yes, dude. Like, I'm not, no cap.
No cap. Y'all got all type of words that I'm finna go back home. They're gonna be like, huh? Like bye. Like at Minneapolis, the word bye. Like the room is by the refrigerator in the kitchen.
Right, right.
But here it's like, bye, why you ain't tell me you was down here, bye? Next time you come down here, bye, I'll let you bye, bye. It was like, oh, y'all use that differently out here.
Southern slang type of thing.
Swear to God.
Well, dude, before we get out of here, is there anything else you want the world to know?
Hey, world, what's up, y'all? Just keep going, man. Keep doing your thing. Keep moving forward. You're going to get frustrated. You're going to lose your motivation. But everybody does. Some people just keep going. Some people just push through. My name is Bruce Leroy Williams. You can find me at Legendary Bruce on all platforms. BaddiesComedy.com, Baddies Comedy on all the platforms. I just dropped a new podcast called Do Fries Come With That Convo, which is a vegan, plant-based podcast. Super dope, where my homegirl might be vegan, Kimberly.
Human Illuminant.
Human Luminous. Can't nobody say that. My grandma be like, You still work at Human Illuminati? I'd be like, it's Human Luminous. So my name is Bruce Leroy, right?
Uh-huh.
The glow. Human Luminous is you yourself are a light. You decide whether you're gonna be dim or you're gonna be radiant. So Human Luminous, HumanLuminous.
And is that your multimedia company?
That's my multimedia company.
So within that, I mean, we can even just close with this, is like, what are all the different, because somebody may even want to hire you after hearing this. So what are all the different, what is the word? Jobs you offer, or skills or services?
So videography, photography, graphic design, motion graphics, websites, what else? It don't stop. Like I didn't specialize. So I learned about 75% of the Adobe Creative Cloud suite and just, you know, started, you know, researching all that stuff. So I do everything and I've tried to do everything so that I can at least give you guidance on how to find what you need. I can definitely outsource. But yeah, we do everything. Also, the goal is to heal through laughter, media, and movement.
Bruce Leroy, thanks for being on Hot Breath, man.
I appreciate you, Joe, from having me.
We out here.
Yeah, all day.
All right.
All right, bye.
Peace.
Peace.
Bye.
All right, bye. There it is, Hot Breath-averse. Legendary Bruce Leroy. I did not overhype him in the intro. I hope you found this as valuable as I did getting to connect with this man. Please connect with him and his movement he has going on. It's all positive and it's all productive and it's all super helpful. So thank you for your valuable time. I did tease you a little tickle in the intro about some exciting news. My birthday weekend, Saturday, January 26th. My birthday is January 24th, but this is my birthday weekend. January 26th, we have been asked back to the Laughing Skull to do another Comedy the Game Show. Yes, cue the applause.
We made it.
Yes, hot brethren and sistren. So that being said, the last one sold out. This upcoming Saturday, January 26th, we need to sell it out again so they will ask us back again. And it's my birthday weekend, so if you didn't get into the last one, come on out, enjoy the one-of-a-kind experience that is Comedy the Game Show. If you did make it to the last one, come on out again because it's going to get better and funnier. No doubt about it. We're making a lot of edits based on that first run because, you know, as comedians, the first one isn't always the best. You know, you got to do a lot of editing and restructuring and reorganizing. So this is going to be the one. We also have a lot of dope new sponsors hopping on board. I can't really reveal right now, but just know you're going to want to be there. There's going to be a lot of dope giveaways, and I would really appreciate your support in this. So the tickets will be linked in the bio where you can go pick them up off the Laughing Skull website. But even just the Laughing Skull in general is a dope comedy club, legitimately one of the most respected comedy clubs in the country. Joe Rogan has talked about it all over his podcast, as well as Bert Kreischer on his and so many other well-known comedians. So it's a good time, all right? So I'd love to see you there. But otherwise, keep on keeping on. You know, we got Hot Breath merch on the loose out there. If you're looking to support the squad and rep your sets and rock the uniform of Hot Breath, you can get those through the link in bio. Also, of course, without me having to say it, these are also on YouTube. So you can watch the videos. Yes, can we cue the applause again? There are just so many cool things going on with Hot Breath here in 2019. And with your support, we can help that happen faster. So last week's episode, last week's listens were the top 1 week total we've ever had. I want to challenge you. Yeah, you listening, loyal Hot brethren and sistren, challenge you. Let's make this week more listens than last week. How can we do that? We can do that by sharing, by tagging all of our other comedian friends in there. When you're out at shows, letting them know, hey, this dope podcast called Hot Breath is hosted by Joel Byers. He's this comedian. I think he's funny. I mean, he rambles a lot in his outro, so I don't know. But cue the laugh track there. But all that being said, just however you can support, I really appreciate it. If you guys are looking to up your writing game or whatever, I am now offering one-on-one writing consultations. I posted not only an episode where I did a one-on-one consultation, but I also posted an episode of a Comedy the Game Show, the audio, so you can actually listen to it before you attend if you want as well. But a lot of you have been reaching out with writing tips, so it seems like that is a very touchy topic with a lot of needs. So any way I can help you, I can do them in person if you're around the A, or I can do them over Skype as well. So just hit me up on social media, at Hot Breath Pod on everything, or at Joel Byers Comedy, or joelbyerscomedy.com. Or hotbreathpod@gmail.com or joelbyerscomedy@gmail.com. I just gave you way too much info. Slide through the DMs. We'll schedule a time to link up. All that being said, thank you so much, Hot Breathiverse. I really do appreciate you. Aww. Yeah, isn't that sweet? So, anyway, let me let you get on with your day. I hope this inspired you to go out there, be productive, push your boundaries, and to keep on keeping on. Until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Oh, also, if you haven't left an iTunes review, you listen this far into the outro, you're a loyal listener, and if you haven't left an iTunes review, shame on you. 2019... get with the program. Quickly leave an iTunes review right now. Help us get up those iTunes charts. And until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.